Hi, everyone. I'm Brené Brown, and I'd love to tell you about my podcast, Dare to Lead. Innovation, creativity, building a better, more just world, all of these things require absolutely courageous leadership, especially given the complexity and chaos of the world right now. The Dare to Lead podcast is a collection of conversations with change catalysts, culture shifters, some troublemakers, folks who are really daring to create and change the world. I hope you join us.
Did I tell you guys about my Jurassic Park viewing experience?
You mean the one in 1994?
No, I meant the
young seven-year-old Griffin McElroy.
When I fell asleep in the theater. No, the far more recent Jurassic, the more recent JP experience that I had at the Alamo Drafthouse when I went and saw Jurassic Park 3D. It's Jurassic Park with an additional layer. There's added depth. There has been depth added to the...
Like plot
the
depth, or...?
No. I mean, unless you can argue that, like, seeing a raptor really coming at you can add something to the plot, which it did.
Okay.
I mean, it's still a fine film. It's still, you know, it's Jurassic Park. There was a woman sitting behind me who at several points during the film... The very first time was right when shit starts to go south. Shit starts to go sideways. The power goes out. Wayne Knight is fucking acting a damn fool, and
he hasn't really done anything too bad at this point, has he?
Except he's just doomed the entire.
Oh right, he turns the power off. Yeah.
He wants to get a snack because he's been how much salty, and he wants something sweet.
Yeah. So it's raining, and the T-Rex fence is off, and the little girl looks over, and she's like, "Where's the goat?" And then the bloody goat leg lands on top of the car. Do you guys know this scene?
I do know that scene.
You know this fucking scene because you've seen the movie probably 20 times. This scene happens. The bloody glow leg lands on top of the car. A woman behind me goes,
"Oh!" Well, she was startled.
Like, startled by this thing that I know better than my own name?
Well, which leads me to an important question, Griffin. Was she holding onto her butt at the time?
She wasn't holding onto her butt because she hadn't seen that part of the movie yet, apparently.
When Sam delivers that line, she's going to be in stitches. Justin McElroy, and I know the best game of the week.
My name is Griffin McElroy, and it's just so frustrating that Justin doesn't know that that's not what we do here anymore.
My name is Chris Plant, and I wish this week was over.
My name is Russ Brushick, and I know the best egg sandwich of the week.
Best what?
Egg sandwich of the week.
Egg Sammy.
That's not what you're bringing to the show, though, is it?
Maybe. Could be. Who knows?
Never know.
The Besties, where we talk about the very best in entertainment, TV, tech, movies, politics.
And huevos.
And huevos. To bring it to you, where you unintentionally, I'm assuming, consume this audio content.
Man, what a week, guys.
Oof. Let's not even... I'm here... We are here to be the Shirley Temples of this week. Of
we are.
This particular depression. We are going to shepherd you out of it.
Yeah, because it was... I think all things considered gaming-wise, if you can divorce it from the rest of the shitty, awful, just miserable shit that happened outside of gaming, gaming-wise, it wasn't a bad week.
Yeah, not too bad.
No, it's pretty good. Lots of interesting stuff.
Who wants to kick it off? Who wants to kick off this sunshine parade?
You know what, Griffin, can you kick it off?
Yeah, because
you have just a whole drop of sunshine.
The best Nintendo Direct possibly of all time.
I'm going to go with yes, definitely of all time.
It's getting hard because the last one was wicked good also. Last one they announced a ton of shit. That's when they announced that there was going to be two new Zelda games for Wii U. But those were pretty abstract. This Nintendo Direct from April 17th, my birthday. Thanks for the warm wishes, Russ and Chris. I really appreciate it. Every year, it's like it's like smashing a bottle of champagne over the year is Russ and Chris's well wishes.
I'm like, you got my card, right?
Yeah, I got the card.
I can't actually tell if you're being sarcastic because I did actually wish you a happy birthday.
Yeah.
I know. Okay. It's for the fiction of the show.
Oh, sorry. Fuck you, Griffin.
This Nintendo Direct God, where do we start? Justin, I know that you kind of like Link to the Past.
Link to the Past is the best video game ever made.
Yeah. Well, there's going to be a sequel.
What?
A squeakquel, if
oh,
you will.
Oh, God. Finally, my Wii U is going to get some action.
Oh, you I'm sweet, stoked. Sweet boy. So that's the thing. Like, this was the most bomb-ass Nintendo Direct ever for the 3DS. They announced some games. They announced some localization of some games, some release dates, a new Animal Crossing New Leaf 3DS XL bundle, which I know everybody's psyched about.
Who's on there? KK Slider?
New KK Slider? Guys, no joke.
Is Giant White Face on the DS?
No. It's just like a sort of a polka dot, sort of a polka dot pattern, sort of inspired by New Leaf. But the Wii U didn't get quite as much love. The Wii U's getting a system update next week.
Snore.
Which I'm sure Wii U owners
the
are...
The Wii U didn't get quite as much... The Wii U was like the pedophiliac uncle that gets sent to prison for 20 years.
Yeah.
What do you mean, Dan? You never had an Uncle Ricky. I don't know
You're
talking about. There is no Uncle Ricky that you have. He's gone forever.
He died in the womb.
he died in utero, and he's your Uncle Rick, and he's gone, and he never existed.
It was basically just Nintendo sort of puffing out their chest and, like, boasting, like, look at all this baller shit we have. Like, 2013 is going to be our year, guys. And coming up against Sony, who has gone more or less radio silence on the PS Vita.
No, stop. That's not true. Because Sony spent almost the entire GDC being like, we were going to bring all these dope indie games to Vita.
Yeah, the Vita is, like, next year is insane. And they're actually original games, not just boring-ass sequels to games I loved when I was 12.
So the big difference... Well, settle down there, Chris Plant.
Boom.
The big difference between Sony and Nintendo right now is essentially doing what they've always done, which is pour tons of money into their internal development and be like, here's Zelda, here's Animal Crossing, here's all the games you know.
Milk those properties.
Sony, meanwhile, probably a better long-term solution, is essentially reaching out to poor basement-dwelling indie developers and saying, hey, we'll give you $200.
Fine. But... fucking do that the year before
I completely
handheld
agree.
Comes but, out, not the year after.
But this is
this is 3 years, actually.
But this is essentially, like, them waking up, and they're like, oh, we're fucked. This is their pivoting. This
that's
is
fine.
Them being like,
what I'm saying is that...
I don't know about 3DS.
That's no justification for going an entire year without acknowledging that your goddamn thing exists. Like,
that's
bonkers.
That's fair.
Let's get posy. This Nintendo Direct was crazy, and I'm so happy that they are becoming, like, we are now, like, the news team are all basically all hands during these Nintendo Directs. When it used to be, you could just have one person watch it because you knew that all they were going to do was show you 10 minutes of footage of Wii U Street Pass. And now it's like, not Street Pass, Street View. Now it's like, man.
Yeah.
Man. So they showed up Mario and Luigi Dream Team, the new Mario and Luigi RPG.
Wait, shut up. I missed that one.
Well, there it is.
That's 3DS?
That's 3DS. It's coming in August,
man.
And it looks amazing.
Can't wait.
They showed off the Luigi DLC for New Super Mario's...
Yeah, no one cares.
No one really cares about that. Mario Golf World Tour looking good. It's got, like, it looks like Mario Golf, which is... probably my favorite sports offshoot of the Mario franchise.
Well, Game Boy Color version. Ask you, the thing. That's what I want to know.
That's the thing,
Does it follow the RPG mechanics of the Game Boy ones, or is it the less interesting console version?
Who does it? Camelot. That's the thing. Camelot, I'm a little shaky about him because I loved the Game Boy Advance and Game Boy Color.
Yep.
I guess they were kind of different, weren't they? The Game Boy Color was sort of seated in RPG mechanics, which were
really
great.
Yeah,
they're both like that.
I didn't play the GBA one.
They were like Legend of the Fisher or the River King,
right?
But for golf.
Yeah, exactly. But
wow, everyone just turned off.
No, I got you. Mario Tennis for the 3DS was like a piece of shit, and that was Camelot, and like they just sort of abandoned all that good stuff. So hopefully Mario Golf's got it, but it does have the Mario Kart 7 community play features where you set up communities online, and it's actually surprisingly robust for Nintendo online.
This is a Wii U game, though?
No, it's a 3DS.
No, this is a 3DS game. That weird game where it's like you live in a town where the Godzilla monsters fight every Friday?
Yeah. Well, that was part of the level 5 bundle. Like, they're doing like another bundle of three games. I can't remember.
All of those look super exciting. Yeah. But otherwise, I mean, I don't know. I just feel
that new Yoshi's Island game didn't do it for you?
They're just, I've played all these games. And I'm very excited about more of these levels.
What could you be expecting from Nintendo?
Oh, no.
Did you really expect Iwata to be like, and now a bold vision from American McGee.
No,
step into the realm.
I don't. And
I'll tell you what got me excited.
Go on.
They are localized. No, because that one, like, literally.
Let me get off on that for a second once you're done with this.
Bravely Default, the new Square Enix role-playing game. I'm actually kind of excited about that because I think Square Enix, once they get out of the Final Fantasy mindset and make Final Fantasy games, like, usually shit's pretty good.
Okay, Earthbound.
I'm pumped. I love it.
Are you shitting me?
I am. It is
Nintendo,
my favorite game.
Here is the announcement that Nintendo made during this press conference. Nintendo announced that within the next 8 months, they will allow you to buy a ROM that they copy and pasted from their laptop to the virtual console.
From emulators.net.
Yeah, exactly. They found it online, they downloaded it, they put it on a flash drive, and then they uploaded it to virtual console. And they're giving you the privilege to buy it within the next 8 months, and people lost their minds.
Justin, like,
how does Iwata's butthole smell? Because he's rubbing it on your face.
It might not be true, though. There is a real possibility that this game, when people download it, will be missing songs and certain visual aspects.
Okay,
of the
game. The license to "Don't Want to Miss a Thing" expired. Take it out.
That's the thing. They infringed on so many copyrights when they released that game. That's why it never came out.
So it's going to be even worse.
So it might be worse. That's the saddest part about it. Is it could potentially be a worse version of the game.
That's wow. Great. Terrific.
Yeah.
I don't understand. I assume it's like everything people are nostalgic about, that it's okay, but not earth shattering, if you will. I say that I'll play it, but it's still going to look like a Super Nintendo game.
Yeah, I'm not playing that shit.
It's so good.
That guy, Mr. Nose.
Who's got the Blues Brothers in the game?
Mr. Jupiter, right? Isn't that his name?
Mr. Nose.
Smash Brothers.
Drops of Jupiter, I believe, is his name.
Drops of Jupiter is in the game. But I'm super, like, when I look forward at the year, like, I do not regret upgrading to my 3DS XL. And that's all that I want was a justification.
Well, yeah, I would say that the 3DS is definitely, this is a...
It's looking good, man.
It's looking good.
God, Animal Crossing alone. Are we all gonna Animal Cross?
I do like Animal Crossing.
I'm gonna do it.
We can, like, stop by each other's cities and, like,
you know,
chop down your trees.
Wii U or 3DS?
That one's on 3DS. I'm so sorry, Justin. I almost bought a Wii U. I found myself flush with, like, hard cash, and I robbed it.
Justin, I don't know why you're so desperate. You have Jeopardy.
You have Zombu.
I have Zombu.
And Jeopardy. Zombu.
Zombu and Jeopardy are my two good. I'm fine. I understand. It's just, oh man, Nintendo. Do you guys think? So obviously, I mean, obviously, if you're thinking about like E3 Nintendo after this announcement, they blew the doors off with. We're 2 months out from E3. They blew the doors off with the 3DS content. Like, obviously, they're not. They can't have too much more in the chamber. They'll circle back on some of these, show you some more of Link to the Past 2, stuff like that. But what happens at E3
Promises.
This year?
Promises. It's what they've been doing at E3 every year, which is, guys, trust us. We have like 400 billion people who want to make games for us, and all those things you love are coming. Just you wait.
Well, what they're going to do, they're going to show off Wind Waker HD. They're going to show off whatever the Mario Galaxy team is working on. They're going to show off Smash Brothers. Like, they've got shit in the chamber. They're going to show off the shit that they have. They're going to show off Bayonetta 2. Like, you're fooling yourself if you think they don't have... If they're just like, oh, man, what are we going to do, guys? It's 2 months away. Fuck! Like, no. I'm pretty sure they have a plan. Let's talk about the next thing.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to talk about something... I want to talk about the my pick this week is the best way to remind yourself how difficult Dishonored was. And that is by purchasing and attempting to play and then failing and getting frustrated with The Knife of Dunwall, which is the new downloadable content just dropped this week for Dishonored. It is standalone, single-player content. You play the assassin.
You don't need the core game to play it?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. By standalone, I meant...
Separate
it is not,
story.
It's a separate story, right, yeah.
Okay.
It does not take place in the context of the game. I mean, it does, but you are not playing Corvo, the lead assassin. You're playing a bad guy, an opposing bad guy.
I think his name is Hank?
Hank Douglas has been sent on a mission. Hank Douglas has been sent on a mission by the ephemeral genie or whatever that guy was from the other world.
Played by Robin Williams.
The guy Robin Williams played in Dishonored. But mechanically, you got some new powers. He's got a wrist crossbow, which is fucking cool.
Wait, there was already a wrist crossbow.
No, there was a hand crossbow.
There's a hand crossbow.
Oh, God.
This guy's got a wrist crossbow. It looks sick.
Okay.
You have the ability to like summon another assassin to come help you out in a pinch.
Help you out how?
Assassin's Creed style.
What? He'll get you coffee.
Yeah, if you're like lonely, can he like go to the movies with you?
He'll suggest a club to use for a specific murder. So it's really hard. Like, I got to a point in Dishonored where I was pretty good. I mean, I was the guy who was complaining about the end of Dishonored because it didn't have, like, the finale of it wasn't a challenge for me because I was just bamfing from ledge to ledge and then I fell on a guy and that was the end of the game. This is, I apparently have completely rusted over whatever skill set I used to get through that game because this one starts hard and goes hard the whole time. I mean, I repeated the introductory 10 seconds like 10 times before I effectively got through it. Now, part of that is play style, right? I like to be a little bit stealthier, and so if it busted up into a free-for-all, then I would surrender to my fate and restart the checkpoint. But it is tough.
Now, do you think it's harder than the original game, or do you think it's just you're rusty?
I think that there's not... it's hard for me to say concretely, but I think that there's just not a ramp up. So, I mean, you're just in it from the... The other thing is you don't have as many powers as you did as when you finished the game, obviously, because... You know, you is a different character, and he doesn't have all the upgrades that Corvo had by the end. So maybe I was overly relying on those by the end of it. So that could be part of it.
Yeah, I loved the first game. I didn't find it super hard, but I'm like super attuned to like that stealth gameplay. Like I'm a little obsessive about it.
I'm really good at games.
Yeah, that sounds a lot like me, actually. I didn't say that. I don't know if you guys...
I'm, like, the best at games.
No, this isn't me either. That's not me saying that.
Like,
I like this character. It's Rush Frustic as animated dog.
I'm actually a little disheartened by that because I feel like the difficulty of Dishonored was, like, perfectly tuned for a stealth game because once you start... notching it up a little bit too much, that process of the forced restart when you fail stealth, which I know we've had this goddamn argument so many times about, well, just go with it. Like that is not really appealing to me.
Yeah, I don't like people always say, well, you can play super action-y too. I've never in my life played a stealth
game. You guys
game
said
action-y.
That. We had the fucking the great Far Cry 3 debate of 2012.
Yeah, but that's not a stealth game. I don't think it's Far
that's
Cry.
That's an action game that that's has a great stealth.
Except right. for the fact that it rewards you for being stealthy. But go
I'm
on.
Talking about I'm talking about Thief, I'm talking about Deus Ex. These are games that are like designed to be stealthy and you can do it action-y, but invariably the game mechanics are not nearly as strong. And I sort of think that that's the case here, where, like, the hand-to-hand combat is fine, it's good, but it's not nearly as good as the stealth mechanics. Yeah. So when shit goes down and poor and you screw up, I feel personally like my only option is to reload the checkpoint because the other option sort of sucks.
I will say, once I sort of shook off the dust a little bit, I was doing better. it introduces some really tough dudes. It has these guys called Butchers that are big thuggish fellows that have giant circular saws, which, like, getting into a hand-to-hand combat with them is not even a good life choice. Like, it's not an option for combat, really. I mean, you can do it. It's just, like, there's no way to not feel like a failure when where you find yourself is in a sword fight with a guy with a mechanical circular saw.
How do you know they're called Butchers?
They actually call themselves that.
Maybe they're
what
just
a bunch of assholes.
I am the Butcher.
Do they not know like that you are not allowed to give yourself a nickname?
Certainly not in a group of, like, all the Butchers can't call themselves Butchers.
The Butchers are weird because they're clearly functional, because there are, like, you see them a few times cutting big slabs of meat.
Yep.
With circular saws, and then other times you'll hear someone on the loudspeakers like, Butchers, he's here, go get them. So, like, I don't know how you hire for this gig.
Yeah.
Because it seems like you need an artisan, really, for the butchery.
No, you need a subway artist.
That's smart, though.
Don't you think the Butchers are like, can we fucking get him in, like, 15? I'm in, like, a good cutting groove.
I'm in the weeds right now. No, I gotta get five dino steaks cut by this afternoon.
Think how much, like, if you think about, like, cops and stuff like that, there's, like, a lot of waiting around, right? Like, where they're just, like, in the squad car waiting for shit to go down. Mm-hmm. So wouldn't it be better if they were just, like, mixing up some sandwiches in that
we hired
meantime?
Cops to, like, use guns to cut up our sandwiches and then cutting gun up?
Hold on.
Yeah.
Pardon me, officer?
It's a good cut I made there. Look, I blew sandwich fragments all over, but it's a good cut. Enjoy your sandwich.
Well, I'm going to play that anyway.
Guys, I want to talk about halftime because there's a special game that I've saved up for halftime that I think you're all going to enjoy talking about.
Oh, boy. Okay.
This week's episode of Survivor was maybe the single greatest episode of a Survivor.
I'm going to have to stop you right there.
That I've ever
I have
seen.
Not watched it yet, and you don't want to hear a word about
it. You guys all lucked out.
Pick something else.
Oh, my God, guys.
I tried Ready for Love out because I thought maybe it would be a good Bachelor substitute. Fuck a duck.
Yeah, that's, you know, when you should stop producing a show is when you realize it's all about cutting down decent people.
Right. It's like Bachelor. Instead of having the women walk away from the Bachelor with dignity and get in a car, they got in a see-through coffin and were lowered into the ground.
Wait, are you saying the women leave the Bachelor with dignity?
Compared to this show?
Compared to this show, yes.
The difference is, in The Bachelor, one man silently decides who he would like to go home. In this show, they have a phalanx of three evil matchmakers who just tear these women down for being human beings.
Yeah, but one guy is still deciding, right?
Yeah, except that guy's in the plain white tee, so really, how much of a victory can you claim there? Yeah.
And he has to. He only chooses between the three people that the matchmakers hated the most for, like, really sad reasons.
Anyway, let's tie this.
And then at the end, they rub jelly on their faces.
Have you guys played the video game adaptation of Ready for Love?
No.
It's the arcade version of 1 vs. 100. Except instead of briefcases, there's women.
Have you guys dipped into the arcade version of 1 vs. 100?
Yeah, it's thrilling.
That is an addictive game.
It's
a really good game.
It's wicked expensive.
Are you joking? So is this true?
Yeah.
No, this is a real thing. I mean, if you go to, like,
a Nathan's?
You know, you know Billy Bob's Wonderland out Barbersville?
Sure, Billy Bob's.
Oh, yeah, off the 305?
Tilt.
No, I lost my virginity at Billy Bob's.
I lost my West virginity at Billy Bob's.
To one of the animatrons?
To one of the animatrons.
Yeah, well, he was sweet.
Rock of Fire explosion. By the way, if you ever are in Barbersville, you can play 1 vs. 100 and have a robot bear sing at you, so don't miss that. It's actually
more
really
than
good. It's a really well-produced... I could do with more Howie, which is to say any.
Yeah,
but it's
there's
a,
no
it's a
Howie?
Pretty well-produced, addictive, like... In the $1 million briefcase is 200 tickets, and then the tickets go, you know, like, sort of down from there.
So that's like a comb, essentially. They might as well
tickets,
put a comb.
200 tickets, I bet you get like a slap bracelet for that.
A styrofoam airplane.
Pretty good.
maybe some Laffy Taffy.
That's good. I think any game that can really get kids just super addicted to gambling super early is right where we want to be.
It's not gambling. I have a system.
Mm-hmm. What about the claw machine? What possible system
for digital briefcase prediction can there possibly be?
They actually do. It's funny. At the beginning of 1 vs. 100, the arcade game, there is a sort of shell game of sorts where, like, they show you the briefcase with 200 tickets in it, and then you see, like, 20 briefcases moving at light speed in concert as though you're supposed to, like, follow the one that,
I mean,
like,
they have to do that, right? They have to do that for it not to be gambling.
Maybe?
I am almost certain.
That makes perfect sense to me. Because, but, like, it's not gambling. Because you pay $1 to play it, and, like Russ said, the best you could get is a jelly bracelet or something. It's, as the jerk said, it's a profit deal.
That sounds nice.
Rustin?
Yeah.
What are you bringing?
Rustin. Okay, so this week I'm going to bring what will be the future of video games. I don't know if you guys knew, but we're already starting to see the next generation of video games.
Yeah, sure, and PS4.
That next generation is already right in people's homes. And I bring today the best example that in-app purchasing will be the end of us all.
Oh, God.
The game is... Yes, the game is Dungeon Hunter 4. And whoa. Brought to you by Gameloft, makers of every game ever that has been ripped off.
Dungeon Hunter 3.
Dungeon Hunter 3 and Diablo. Oh, wait, no. And so Dungeon Hunter 4 is a free-to-play Diablo... I was going to say Diablo style, but it's essentially Diablo game, which is fine. Like, it's actually fun. The controls are pretty solid. Good graphics.
Yeah, the other ones have been
serviceable. Yeah, they're good games. So, you know, what they've decided to do is essentially, well, there have been in-app purchasing in past games. This game ratchets it up to an all new level of extreme.
Well, tell me, because you're trying to tease it, and it's like a lot of something build-up. I couldn't give less of a shit about.
Brace yourself. You ready? Okay, so let's say you get a health potion.
Okay.
Every time you use a health potion, a timer appears for 2 minutes before you can use another health potion.
That's a hearty cooldown.
Or you can spend gems to reset that timer.
Oh, my God.
Hey, let's say you want to upgrade your sword. That's fine. Spend some gems to upgrade your sword. But wait, when you spend some gems to upgrade your sword, a timer appears for 5 minutes saying that you need to wait, and you can spend more gems to speed up the process.
It's like they threw the IAP strategies against the wall and saw what sticks, and everything stuck. They were like, fuck it, put a timer, we need a second currency, let's get a third currency, and let's socialize it.
No holds barred in-app purchasing. It is the most shameless example I've ever seen. And what's great is that it's a free-to-play game, so everyone can see just how shameless it is.
God, fuck that noise.
But what if I get, like, hooked?
Yeah, I'm worried for you.
Does it even have, like, a hook period? This sounds like it's, like, it goes right in. Like, it just goes for the gut.
Yeah, I mean,
Does it give you, like, 10 minutes of, like, holy shit, this is it. This is the Diablo.
There was about 2 minutes before I used that health potion where I was like, this is pretty fun. I'm enjoying this. And then it was just, like, bend me over and did me like Billy Bob's animatronic bear.
That sucks.
Yeah, so it was... It's
Game
not
Loft,
good.
How the fuck is Game Loft still fucking this up? Are they just sort of hedging their bets on this being, like, the new shit that can be their cash cow? Because they've been in the game for...
It's not that they're... it is the way you can make tons of money. Free-to-play games, like...
I'm not saying that they shouldn't be making free-to-play games. I'm saying, how do they not know that, like, such hostile... I bet you people eat this shit up, though,
that's
now that I'm talking
thing.
About it. Fuck. God, people, you're making it worse for
it.
The rest of us.
Yep.
Fucking whales.
Yeah, you are honestly feeding the trash monster that is in-app purchasing iOS. Look, there are good ways to do it.
There are.
Stickman Golf had
Super
some good
Stickman
in-app
Golf.
Purchasing mechanics.
I've dropped probably $10 on that game.
That's crazy. Did you?
Yeah. Well, I played it for roughly 100 hours, so like I have no hesitation.
That's a lot.
I had to get all the hats. I'm still missing one. They ran.
I'm missing
up.
Two.
Fuck.
They get expensive.
They get so spensivo. But like, I have no problem with that because that game seriously like. That is how I come at in-app purchases. How many hours of enjoyment have I gotten out of this product?
Sure.
And Super Stickman Golf, it literally probably is close to 40.
Yeah, easily. I have no problem spending money on those games. But when in the first 2 minutes, they're like, yeah, $5 would be great.
Yeah, hey, you haven't earned that from me yet. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, so it's sad. All I can hope is that, you know, the problem is, like, what they could easily do is be like, so here's the free-to-play version, or spend $5 or $10, whatever, and get the, you know, full game without having in-app purchasing. The problem with that is they'll end up making way less money because the people that buy the full game won't ever spend more than that. And what they're hoping is not $5 or $6 from people that get the free-to-play.
To have one idiot asshole spend
$50.
Yeah.
Well, and the other problem is that they just don't have, like, and this is, I think, the greatest sin of all about it, is that they don't have a game that would work that way. Like, it is constructed to be specifically gated to weasel as much money out of you as possible. Like, to remove the in-app purchasing would be like enabling some sort of god mode, because it is so fundamentally designed around that idea of getting as much money from you as possible.
Right.
Hey, Plant, do you want to tell us about your thing?
So what I am bringing to the table this week is the best reason to throw my controller through my PC monitor.
And a that controller is for a PC monitor?
I hate... Oh, God. Oh, man.
Like a Thank flight you. Stick?
I hate it, man, so much. So La Mulana came out on Steam this week, and this game has been... It's like Spelunky in a lot of ways, especially in that it has been released in various forms over the past few years, beginning with like one that looks much more like an NES game. This one looks kind of like an SNES game.
It's also set in a mine.
It's also set in a special temple mine thing full of booby traps, and it is also incredibly difficult, and it's a lot about learning what kills you in the game. But what if I told you, unlike Spelunky, the maps were all preset. You knew absolutely zilch going in. Absolutely nothing. And when you died, the whole game restarted, but it was a much larger game, an unforgiving game. And there were save points, but you couldn't find them.
Wait, okay. I'm very confused. It's because No, hold on. You just said, first of all, A, you know nothing about Spelunky going in every single time you play because it's random. True?
But you know that you have a whip. Okay. This is a tutorial.
You start to... Basically, Spelunky is so simple that you're not going into menus and adding new items and finding maps.
Okay.
It may or may not work with a computer. And the computer may or may not be able to use certain items
what
all
computer?
At once. And the computer also gets emails that ping you while you're trying to get past a scary enemy, and you'll get killed because you'll be distracted by the email logo that's popping up on your screen.
What computer?
You have a computer that gets emails from...
I thought this was in a mine. How do you get service?
I know, right?
There's ore inside the walls of the mine that acts as an antenna.
Here's basically the thing about La Mulana. I think it's really interesting. I don't know if it's a game for me. I do think it might be a game for people who like Dark Souls, and that's why I wanted Griffin and, I guess, Fresh, all of you here to talk about it, because... It
Justin didn't finish Dark Souls. He's not a fan.
Wow. Never mind. Justin, you can leave. It feels in a lot of ways like 2D Dark Souls. There are these bodies that are lying around that you can get information from that sometimes clue you into traps, but sometimes trick you.
Praise the light. Praise the sun.
Are they player generated?
But it doesn't have any of that player special stuff. Oh. This is all just made by them. The story kind of reveals itself through the environments. You can go anywhere, but the reality is there is actually a specific path that you should be taking, and everything punishes you. Like, it's a game that you have to experiment trying, like, whipping everything, pushing everything, if you ever want to find just the very basic materials to start enjoying the game. But doing any of that will kill you a billion times, and the amount of crap that you have to do at the beginning of the game just to get back in the temple is like 15 minutes worth of junk just to get back to the place where you originally were. So
sounds fun.
It's brutal. Like, an example of this is I figured out basically how to get past basic enemies, how to whip them and kind of maintain my health. But there are rocks in the temple that look like they need to be moved or whipped, you whip them and they electrocute you to almost no health. But you
wait,
also
the rocks
need...
electrocute you?
Yeah, yeah. But some of them you do need to move and whip, so you never know if what you're doing is going to kill you, or be like finally just the very small thing you need to get the piece of the map. Like all of the game's core mechanics basically are withheld from you, and then you are just dying over and over again trying to get them. So like the ability to save, the ability to get a map, the ability to even read the text that's on any of these bodies, all of that is unavailable from the beginning.
Okay, follow-up question. If you've got a computer, why the hell are you using a whip? Don't you have a fucking, like, future tech ray or something?
No, just a whip.
Well, Russ, you have a computer.
Yeah.
Do you have a future tech ray?
Yeah, I bought it at Toys R Us.
But that doesn't sound functional.
It's
real death ray.
No, I mean, it says it on the description. It does shoot Nerf bullets, but I like to imagine...
Guys, here's the thing about...
No, hold on. I want to hear more about this imagination.
I really don't want to.
Okay.
Because, like, it's kind of cool to shoot friends with Nerf bullets, but what if it was, mm-hmm. like, a super ray?
Yeah.
Like, from the future.
Mm-hmm. Like, with a magic beams.
Right.
I was looking around the room for my item to use in this little scene that we have, and all I found on his desk was a hammer. guys, it's a good, it's a good game. I just don't know if I have the time or tolerance for something that is essentially as difficult as, old Ghouls and Ghosts, or Ghouls and Goblins, why am I messing it up?
Ghosts and Ghouls.
Ghosts and Ghouls, God. It just handles like an old, difficult Japanese, action game. And on top of that, it has these, like, just brutal mechanics of try and repeat that takes so much time. That the jumping mechanic is that very old-fashioned. If you press jump and you have no momentum going left to right, you go straight up, and then you can control your descent. So you go up and can't control anything, but you can move to left to right on the fall.
Yeah, that's real life. Welcome to real life.
It's just physics.
It's all laser pistols and side jumping. Yeah.
Now, I have an important... this will be my last question on this game, but I think it's the most important question. As someone who played this game and obviously researched it heavily before bringing it to the table, what does the title mean?
This sounds like
La Mulana is the actual place that you're going. La Mulana is...
And what is the translation?
I have no idea. What is it?
It means the Mulana.
He got you.
No, you walked into that. You got to respect when he sets that snare.
He literally just sat, Griffin, you're feeding him. He leaned back, and now he's stretching his arms.
Yeah, that's because he's the fucking
like
victor.
He's the fucking Lion King on top of the damn hill.
He just fucking General Zaroff to you. You are the most dangerous game, and you just got fucking took.
Everywhere the light touches, I will.
You can hate on him as much as you want, but you gotta respect the game when he wins it. You know what I mean?
Guys, I would love for one of you who beat Dark Souls to play this, and then maybe we can talk about it at next week for a little bit. Because it seems like a really good game if you are a masochist.
Yeah.
And I watched some playthrough videos on YouTube, and some parts of the game look baller. Unfortunately, I kept dying before I saw any of it.
What are we talking about next week, y'all?
No, we gotta pick a winner.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
It's Griffin's favorite time. It's Griffin's favorite time.
Let me just say, I think I deserve to win because of that sick burn.
That you did? But it was unrelated to your thing.
That I did.
Yeah, that had to do with my game.
Yeah, so what? I think that should be a bonus, like a write-in category.
I think Griffin wins because I feel the most, you know, I'm being pulled in both directions with that news, and that excites me.
I think Griffin wins.
I have such complex emotions.
It's like a
positive story.
It is rare for me to be so excited for so many things coming out for a single console.
I mean, Earthbound.
Earthbound. Well, Earthbound. Is for Wii U. Is it 3DS Virtual Console also?
I don't know.
They weren't clear on that. But
a vote for Griffin is a vote for originality.
Yeah, that's it.
That's fine.
Guys, I think Griffin won.
Griffin won.
Congratulations, wins. Griffin.
Thanks. Thank you. I think that's two in a row for me, but I don't want to brag, but I'm going to take home the pennant this year. I'm confident.
Repeat.
So what's next week, y'all?
I don't know. I don't think there's any games. We can talk about the Soul Sacrifice demo. I haven't played it.
But. No, there's a bunch. Dead Island comes out next week.
Dead Island.
Star Monaco. Trek,
Monaco.
Far Cry Blood Dragon.
No, ooh. That's 2 weeks from now.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So Monaco.
So okay. We have plenty.
Yeah, it's more than enough.
So make sure you you keep up with those games at polygon.com. You hear us talk about them on Friday. Give us maybe a review or subscription in iTunes. And make sure you join us again next Friday for the besties. Because shouldn't the world's best friends pick the world's best things?
Besties!